Hey everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. I'm your host, Rodney Mathers. We have a very special program today. On the show is Mr. Jeremiah Russell. And Jeremiah has been where we've been, and he approaches incarceration from a very special angle. He looks at the issues involved with people that have mental or physical handicaps while they're incarcerated and the things that they can do and that their families can do in order to be sure that their needs are being properly met while incarcerated. He's written a couple of books. He's an excellent, excellent resource, and I want you to be sure and stay tuned for this interview with Mr. Jeremiah Russell coming up right after this on The Journey of Hope. Love hearing from you. Remember, you can catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney at yahoo.com. Drop me a line.
And it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And where's it go?
Hi there and welcome back. My guest today is Jeremiah Russell. Jeremiah Russell has a couple of books that we're going to be touching on, or actually three. One is called Insanity, and it's his account of his childhood and eventual time in prison. I believe that Jeremiah went down twice, actually, and a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk to Jeremiah about his upcoming book called Justice for the Mentally Challenged. Jeremiah Russell, welcome to Journey of Hope.
Hey, Rodney, how are you?
Doing swell, my friend. Tell me, you tell us about your life leading up to incarceration, the charges, the time served, and so forth. Let us know a little bit about that part of your life.
Well, growing up, I was kind of an out-of-control kid. I was on LD, learning disability, and later put in behavior disorder. And as my teenage life, I got involved with drugs and was dealing with groups of kids and wound up getting into a little bit of trouble through my teenage life. And at 19, I stole a motorcycle and was put on probation and didn't report to my probation. I had moved out of state. And 4 years later, from absconding from probation, I was sent to prison. Mm-hmm. And they gave me 3 years, and altogether it was 3 years and 8 months. My life had changed at 22 spiritually. I found a higher power, and it really changed my heart, and I stopped stealing, and I still had issues with drinking and using drugs, and I lived on my own, away from family, for many years, and lived a tough life on the streets. And later on in life, I got involved with a lot of other activities, and actually made a threat against a government official that I didn't actually mean. It's a long story, but I wrote books about it to explain it, and went to federal prison. And once released from federal prison, I got my book published, Insanity, that was really a gift to be able to have it done, because the book is sold overseas and sold at all the major bookstores. And so I continuously started writing other books, and I had two other books about to be published, Justice for the Mentally Challenged, which explains the threat that I made and how it happened, and court documents showing, you know, my defense and how I was done. And I had got put on medications for some mental issues that that helped my life calm me down, as far as anxiety and so forth. And so that's where I'm at today, is in a different direction in life, and just grateful that God is giving me wisdom and healing. And, you know, without family and friends, it's hard to be able to start your life over and succeed, you know, because when I got out of prison the first time, I didn't rely on family. I went on my own, and not to have anybody in your corner makes it a lot tougher.
It does. It sure does.
The things I wrote about, I had been through so many bizarre things as far as living on the streets and the rain, and I actually wrote my book while on the streets, and had it in a backpack and kept it from getting wet. And I had near-death experiences and so forth. But life today, Rodney, is a blessing. It really is. That things are great, and you know, I get down on my knees every night and I thank God for everything that I've been through, because it has made me stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And so things.
I want to talk about your spiritual awakening in just a minute here. In one of your correspondences with me, you mentioned something about that. But before we do that, I want to ask you a little bit more about the book. I'm seeing some things here that are really intriguing me. It's one of the things is something about military psychological operations. What how does that play into your book? What is that all about?
Well, it's kind of hard to explain. That's why the book is Insanity. I was diagnosed with schizophrenia, and the book Justice for the Mentally Challenged goes into a lot more of the military things. I believe what actually happened to me could be done by the military and MK Ultra. William Reach created in 1954 how to bypass someone's ear and speak with them. Anyways, not to go into all that on your show, but that I was involved with the war on terror down the terrorist, and because they trained them in Venice, Florida, where I was living, and so forth. And I got deep into a lot of things going on there. And when it happened, when the things started happening to me, I actually thought it was, you know, God speaking to my mind. And so I went through some schizophrenia things that I believe were also caused by military stuff. And writing my book, I had adventures with people actually following me and stuff like that, Rodney.
Wow. Well, you mentioned you mentioned that at one point in your life you came to this spiritual awakening despite everything that you had been through. There somehow was a light at the end of the tunnel, some hope. And I'd like for you to tell us about that, because I think our audience likes to hear those kinds of stories. Tell us about your spiritual awakening.
Well, I know for a fact there is a God, and there's spirits, there's angels. I had at 22, started studying the Bible, and, you know, I came to faith and believed, and you know, I broke down and cried and really wanted to change, and it was there to help. And but I can definitely witness that there is a God and there is angels. I have been touched by powerful spirits and so forth. And you know, when you know there's a God, and you don't live on faith, that it, you know, you have a personal thing there, you know, because I lived for years, you know, seeking God and praying, you know, to lead me, guide me, protect me, and strengthen me, to use me for His will. And when the Holy Spirit revealed, you know, that it is real, and it just took me to a different level. And so I've done a lot of studying, and each day I try to pray to God. And so I know there's a God, Rodney. Mm-hmm. And some of the stuff that has happened to me, you know, people say when you do try to seek out God, that you can be attacked by, you know, the evil spirits or whatever. I've went through so many supernatural things that it's amazing that someone has been through what I went through. And I know that not everyone has experienced what I went through spiritually. And when you try to explain these things to the people, you know, they kind of look at you oddly, you know, especially a psychiatrist or whatever. You know, they're trained to give you medicines if, you know, you talk about spirits and angels and so forth. But I have heard voices, and when that started happening, I actually thought it was God. And then I wind up doing studies and researches on Operation Paperclip, which you can Google, or MK Ultra, and things like that. And I started questioning, okay, was this, you know, all God? Because, you know, but I started taking medicines and it helped. And as far as spiritual beliefs, Rodney, there's no doubt that there is a God. And He can change people's lives. He can lead you through troubles and give you wisdoms and bring you through those. Because I have woke up with my feet froze, you know, thanking God that I was still alive. You know, I was never bitter with God for the things that I went through, you know, that I made a lot of bad choices in life. And some things have put me in things that were not my choice. And but I have never blame God for any of my hardships. You know, even when I was a teen and wasn't in my right mind and didn't have the knowledge of right and wrong, basically, you know, to go out and steal, I guess I did, but I just, you know, I was a bad, troubled kid. Mm-hmm. And to be 34 years old now, I just look back in life and say, you know, I went through those things. I'm a lot wiser than a lot of people. And you know, when people believe certain things, you know, on faith, that's one thing. But when you actually have the knowledge of knowing, okay, there is God, and He knows that. Like, for instance, one night, I'll just give you an example.
Okay.
I was laying in bed, and I had been laying there for about 30 minutes, an hour, and I had my eyes closed, and a picture formed in my head, like a, you know, when you have a dream. But I was awake, and it was basically where God was. And to make a long story short, I didn't see God, but I seen where it was. And He told me, He said he can see everything He created from right there. And that anytime anybody calls on Him, He can hear them from right there. And I, He said a few things, and I fell asleep immediately after that. Well, the picture went away, and I said, God, I want to see more. And He said, you can't, and explained it. And then I fell right to sleep. And I still remember that. And a lot of other different things. That's just an example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how powerful of a God we've got, you know.
And given those experiences and the audience that you're speaking to right now, how would those experiences and your belief in a God translate into help for ex-offenders? What would be your message that combines help and your spiritual awakening?
I'm a strong believer in the power of the tongue. if you speak positive things, you know, like being in prison is all negativity. The people are, you know, on a negative level. If you speak positive things, you know, to make someone feel good during the day, or you confess things, you can speak things into existence. And if someone sets their mind that gets out of prison, okay, I'm going to control, first of all, the things that I say, you know, that, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to find a job, I'm going to, you know, meet somebody, and you start confessing these things, the power of the things you say are very, very good. And also, when you think about things, you know, I have been through a life where I had negative thoughts, thoughts that were, you know, to do crime or things that go through your brain. You have to rebuke those things. You know, you can't just accept every thought that comes through your mind, because as a human being, everyone gets challenged, and some more than others. And people that are in jail, you know, that have a lot of time, they sit there and they think things. And, you know, if someone can control to rebuke a negative thought, you know, that would help them in their lives. Because, you know, a lot of people that's on drugs, when they get out, they have a thought of using drugs again, or whatever got them to prison to begin with. And so my word of encouragement would be, you know, to watch what you say and try to rebuke the negative things that you hear as far as thoughts, and also who you're around. If, you know, if you go around people that are speaking negative, you know, that draws you into their life.
It
and
does.
Anybody that's a negative person or someone that's definitely doing crime or drugs, you can't be around that, because it influences you in the long run.
That's right.
You know, a lot of people get out of jail and want to do good and so forth, but they just don't have the long ability to understand, okay, if you don't watch who you're around, you know, it plays a big role.
I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that, and I think it's excellent advice. Hey, listen, Jeremiah, we're going to take a short break now, and when we come back, we're going to have more with Jeremiah Russell. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. This is Rodney Mathers with the Journey of Hope. Have you got a chance to check out that Jam Buddy chord chart yet? Remember, that thing will help you organize your music. For those of you that know a few chords, in a way that you can play a whole bunch of different songs in a whole bunch of different keys, it's the Jam Buddy chord chart. The way you get to it is you go to angiesbanjo.com. That's angiesbanjo.com. If you love to play music as much as I do, you'll want to check this thing out, because you get a free sample. You click on the ebook Jam Buddy chord chart and you'll get to check it out for free. It's really cool. If you're into music, you know a few chords, this thing is going to organize your playing to where you can play a bunch of songs in a bunch of different keys. It doesn't matter if we're talking about piano, bass, guitar, banjo, whatever. It's the Jam Buddy chord chart, and it's at angiesbanjo.com. Check it out.
They're ready to go now. They got this simple going to the discotheque. Go, go.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Jeremiah Russell. I want to switch gears here just a little bit and talk about one of your upcoming books, Justice for the Mentally Challenged. This is intriguing to me. Tell us about the premise of that book, Jeremiah.
Okay, that book actually has documents from both times I was in prison, court records. has a habeas corpus in the first one, where I was put to prison for stealing a motorcycle at 19. Well, it has issues about where I was on medications and things that I wanted to bring towards to the judge about competency, you know, trying these different medications and side effects and so forth. You know, when you're in jail and you got 70 people and the lights are on all night and everyone's talking, you know, and you can't sleep and you go to a doctor to try to get help for sleeping and so forth. So those issues were brought up, and there's the habeas in that, and it kind of explains how I got to that point and how that was done. And then later on in the book, it goes into my sentencing hearing on my felony charge, my federal charge, and it has where I was being defended and so forth, and how I felt that, you know, the justice handled someone that was mentally challenged, because I was definitely mentally challenged at the time, and people can have serious mental breakdowns in prisons and so forth. So it explains that, and then it goes into, you know, how it all occurred and what happened, and it's really, really a bizarre story.
Okay? It sounds very interesting. Can the book be used as a, say, a resource for family members of people that are incarcerated that have mentally challenging issues? Can it be used in that way?
I wouldn't think so. For basically for families, I more or less wrote it for, you know, not just for the family, but for people that were interested in, you know, in like maybe lawyers and judges and so forth, people that's interested in legal proceedings. Mm-hmm. Now, the book Insanity, you know, for someone that wanted to see real life experience of, you know, because a lot of people live a sheltered life, and the ones that in prison may not, you know, there's a lot of people that doesn't have sheltered life there, but the common person has a sheltered life. If someone wanted to read someone's life that was not so sheltered, Insanity is a good book for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's basically,
there's not much of a sheltered life in the jailhouse, is there? You mentioned the lights being on at night and people talking, man, you're taking me back. And I'm like, oh my God, if I hear another domino slam, I think I'm going to die.
Oh, it's horrible. It is.
It's a hard way to live, particularly for an extended period of time. I mean, but you know, here we are on the other end of it. And I guess, you know, we can think back on those days, and it's okay to do that, but we got to keep moving forward, don't we?
Yes, sir. And you know, if we apply the things that we know that's necessary to live a predominant healthy life, you know, that, you know, we always remember what we've been through. But, you know, the thing is that not to fall in any type of scenario that could actually, you know, break the law. And what you're doing, I commend you, man. I tip my hat to you. Your program is great. You're helping a lot of people. And for me, basically, I donate a lot of my time to help elderly, you know, and stuff. So I do try to, you know, help people and so forth, you know. What makes the world go around?
Well, you know, the program, since you mentioned it, it's kind of therapeutic for me in that, you know, when I went to prison, I was in a lot of denial, but I'll tell you, I did what they said I did, and I deserved to go to prison. And this is kind of my way of, I don't know, maybe making amends. And I feel good when we do these programs, especially when I have people like you on who know what's going on and can relate to the situation and try to help some people readjust when they come out. One of the things that I tell people, Jeremiah, all the time is that, you know, when we come out of prison, we need to be careful with our downtime. We need to find a hobby, something that interests us, that's fun to do. I talk a lot about playing music, but one of the things you've done is you've written some poetry, and that's one of the things you do in your spare time, and you have a book of poetry coming out. Tell us a little bit about that.
Generalized poetry, it has three different types of poetry. I've wrote quite a bit on the free world, and then I wrote some while incarcerated, and then I wrote some through some really troubled times. So it's a range of different types of the things that were going on in my life that I wrote about, and it was a way for me to express feelings that, you know, in an artistic way. You know, mm-hmm. I wrote things down that I could just release feelings, and it helped.
Mm-hmm. You know? How can listeners get a hold of? We're talking about three books here: Justice for the Mentally Challenged and Insanity, and your book of poetry. How do we get in touch with you and get a hold of those books?
Well, Insanity right now is at all the major bookstores, and I have a website, www.jeremiahrussell.com, that they can go on and look at the reviews of all my books. That the Justice for the Mentally Challenged and Generalized Poetry is in the process of going to the printing, so they can go on to my website and check those out. But Insanity is in all of the major stores, even sold overseas now, so I'm proud of that.
Wow. Okay, congratulations on that. And I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll be sure and put a link up when we post this podcast. Jeremiah, I thank you so much for being here today. You're very informative. It's a joy to have somebody on the show that really does know what's going on and what it's like to come out of incarceration. And you've certainly done some very positive things with your life since you've come out, and I commend you for that. I want to thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today.
I appreciate you very much, and thank you for allowing me to be a guest on your show.
Jeremiah Russell, thank you. My name's Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope.
I saw it as you flew between my reason, like a raven in the nighttime when you left. I wore a chain upon my wrist that you touched it and you wore it, and you kept it in your pillow all the same. My high-flying bird has flown from out my arms. I thought myself a keeper, she thought
that's all we have time for this week. I want to thank my special guest, Mr. Jeremiah Russell, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time, right here on the Journey of Hope.